Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues that matter most to our public schooling families. And this week, as it has been the case in many weeks, that issue is coronavirus. Joining us on the live line, the host of Issues in Education, Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, great to have you back today, sir.
Thank you, Bob. And we've always been socially distant as far as these conversations are concerned, so we don't have to be concerned about that today either.
Well, just in case, I do have a can of Lysol next to me here, so okay. When we're done, right. You know, we can be responsible. But so the question, if I had a buck for every time this was asked, I'd be a millionaire. Will there be a rest of the school year? Schools, of course, have been shut down since mid-March because of this virus. What do you think of that? And should that decision be made by the state or the local districts?
Well, I think any parent listening is going to really like my answer. And that is, I do think that school will be opened again. I think the first clue to that was last week when the governor said that he's looking at maybe sometime in April, schools opening up. Now, I would think that it will be on a regional basis, but fortunately for much of your listening area, the virus has not been near as impactful as it has been in New York City and places like that. So yeah. I do think that over the next couple of weeks, we may see schools open up again. There, of course, is a spring break in many areas. Starting in mid-April, so whether it'll be before then or after that. But at the latest, I would guess, and that's all it is, that after that spring break, you'll see schools open up again.
And I don't know if you heard it in the background, Ralph, but there was a collective thank God from all the parents.
I did hear that.
Today. I joined that chorus of parents. I love my kids, but my goodness, it's a little much.
Yeah, the one thing that's certainly helped teachers in this whole issue is that there's a new appreciation for the work that they do, and I hope folks are taking time to see some of the fun stuff that's appearing, you know, on the Facebook and Twitter and places like that. There's some really interesting reactions, both from kids and from parents, in terms of their life with having their children around 24/7.
Yeah, try to find those silver linings wherever you can. However you can find those, take advantage of it. And I do see the governor now rethinking these shelter-in-place orders, and maybe it'll come sooner or than later. Of course, the virus determines that guideline. So in this new normal of online learning, Ralph, what about the children who do not have internet connection? That was a question posed to Pennsylvania's education secretary, Pedro Rivera, and he seemed to suggest he had no data on how big of a problem that is. How big of a problem is that?
Well, I think it is a big problem. I read recently that even teachers are trying to make some decisions about grading work that students are doing at home, because some of the students, through no fault of their own, are not able to even receive the work because they don't have access to the internet, particularly in rural areas of the listening area. I think this is a really big problem, and it's going to be difficult for teachers to do their work because of that.
And many kids, unfortunately, this is the world we live in, upstate, rural areas, a lot of poverty. And the only meal that these kids will get is at school. It's so sad to think about. Are the districts adequately supplied? Because a lot of them are delivering meals still, even though school's not in session. Are they adequately supplied? We've seen the run on grocery stores. People just seem to have lost their mind in some cases. Do they have enough to get them through this time of uncertainty here?
I think schools are doing a terrific job on this, and I'm so pleased about that because, as you said, there are, again, students that are in situations of no fault of their own, and it would be a shame to have young people that are going hungry because they're not able to get to school. I see pictures of schools doing different things in order to get the lunches out. I think with the supply chain that schools have, I think they will continue to do a great job to help in this situation. And I see also that churches and other groups are helping out on weekends and other times as well, which is really great. I think one of the blessings that we've seen through all of this is that we recognize that we are in this together, and anything that we can do to help each other while we keep our distance is appropriate is really a good thing. And an act of God in that sense.
And I love what you said, since I'm married to a teacher, I really loved it, how this has taught us as parents to maybe appreciate our school teachers a little more and what they have to go through on a day-to-day basis. But for us moms and dads now who have been thrust into the role of school teacher for the time being, just give us a little advice here as to how to get us through what we hope is a short-term thing. It may not be. It could be longer than we want, or may not be, but we don't know. So we have got to kind of step up to the plate here, so to speak, and get us through this, as we said earlier, new normal of learning.
Right. Well, certainly would encourage parents to be in touch with their schools. There is at least a skeleton crew in every school that are fielding questions. There are teachers that are reading stories and doing things over the internet and on Facebook so that you can, for example, sit your children down and have them listen to the teacher read a story. There are many, many cases where that's happening. Some of the art galleries and museums are doing virtual work, and if you check that out, you can do that kind of thing as well. Even some of the sports teams are showing reruns of different things, and if your child is interested in sports, there are some avenues there, and you can turn any of those kind of events actually into a learning experience if you work at it a little bit. And after all, that's what teachers do all the time, is to take circumstances that they're in and try to make them teachable moments. But I certainly agree that parents are finding this is not like summer vacation where they can, you know, put their children in camps and other activities. This is 24/7, basically. And I feel really badly for some of the psychological things that are happening with children. I heard yesterday of a family where one of their sons, as they noticed, had actually bitten his fingernails off to the point where they were actually bleeding. Mm. And it was related to the fact that he's just so unsure of what all is happening around him. So in addition to some of those things that really have to do with learning, I think there's a real opportunity here for parents to help their children learn about life and the uncertainty of that. And certainly within your own family, don't take social distancing seriously in that sense, because your kids still need your hug and your presence. And I would just encourage parents to be sure that they give that part of emotional support to their children as well.
Boy, what a great way to end today's conversation. Upbeat, always seeing the positive. Ralph, I know you're talking more about this on your website. Folks have questions about what they can do in this interim. Where can folks find you, sir?
Simply go to yrun.org. yrun.org.